Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power and we shine light ahead of us to the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together. In other words, to address problems instead of defending positions. We have another purpose, too, and that is to provide context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. I've said it before, and it is worth repeating. In these times of intense political polarization, we have a deeply united body politic. You know, more than 90% of us agree we aren't being represented. The two-party system is rigged. We need to make sure that the free speech of unbridled campaign spending doesn't drown out the free speech that points us beyond the status quo. Consider in 2014, Princeton University study, professors Martin Guylens and Northwest University professor Benjamin Page concluded that for all intents and purposes, the United States is an oligarchy because the views of the general public have very little sway over what legislation does or doesn't get passed, particularly when the public will is in conflict with the interest that keep what Michael Porter and Catherine Gale of the Harvard Business School call the political industrial complex in place. Meanwhile, according to CBS News, some $6.8 billion was spent on the 2016 presidential election, while just 31% of the people thought the election process was working as well as it could, understatement. If we consider that $6.8 billion is larger than the economies of Argentina and Poland, that's a lot of money to spend on a campaign that leaves 70% of us unsatisfied. Fortunately, my guest today, James Jamison, he's the National Organizing Director of Represent Us, is here to present us with some good news for a change. Anti-corruption and election reform activists from across the political spectrum are uniting to unrig the system and are planning their second annual Unrig the System Summit in Nashville at the end of March. James is an experienced campaign political activist who's worked on several successful campaigns, starting off with fundraising for the 2012 Marriage Equality Campaign in Maine. He's led canvas efforts in three states and field efforts in two. During the 2016 election cycle, he was New Hampshire's out-of-state director for Bernie Sanders before joining Bernie's national advance team, traveling to 27 states and building rallies of thousands of people. Since first getting into political campaigning, James has been passionate about electoral reform and was involved with Maine's ranked choice vote voting victory. We'll talk about that a little later. Welcome, James.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. I'm really happy to be here.
You know, I have to say that I attended the Unrig event in New Orleans last February, and it was a very heartening event for me. I was happy to see so many people, young people in particular, who recognize it's up to we the people to overgrow the current political new word that we use, situation, the situation. Everybody knows what that word means for some reason. And I was happy to see that there were people there from across the political spectrum. So James, the organization sponsoring this event, Represent Us, says that the problem is, quote unquote, corruption. What is meant by corruption, and how does Represent Us look at confronting that problem?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So corruption is the fact that the average U.S. senator has to raise $14,000 a day every day for 6 years to run for reelection. Corruption is the fact that nearly 90% of U.S. congressional districts are gerrymandered, preventing any competition. And corruption is the fact that over 40% of U.S. voters are registered independents, but only two members of Congress are not affiliated with the two major parties. So Represent Us was launched in 2012, really founded with a single goal in mind, is to fix our corrupt political system and create a government that works for you and your family, not just the rich and well-connected. And so we've been bringing conservatives, progressives, and everyone in between to find clear solutions that fix America's corrupt political system.
You know, that, you know, it stands to reason that something, you know, that this is a system that really seems to be unable to reform itself. And so it's up to an outside force to help reformulate the system. So what's the strategy that Represent Us has adopted to have an impact on a system that seems to be very much entrenched?
Yeah, and that's a fantastic question. So, I mean, we've been spending the past 5 years really building infrastructure, building credibility, building momentum to mount serious campaigns for policies that will fundamentally improve American democracy. We know that we can't just go to Congress and ask them to fix our broken system, because everyone currently elected got there because of our current system. So we're going around Congress and passing meaningful anti-corruption reforms at the state and local level. And we've been doing this for a number of years. Our very first binding anti-corruption act was in Tallahassee, Florida in 2014. And since then, we've had over 100 victories, over 100, including last year when there were 23 binding anti-corruption reforms that won both through legislatures and at the ballot box across the country.
That's really amazing. Why don't you give us kind of a template of what the anti-corruption legislation looks like, the kinds of bills that have passed? Is there one kind of formula template?
So the kind of template, so we're modeled off of what's called the American Anti-Corruption Act. It's kind of a model policy that sets a framework for city, state, and federal laws to fix our broken political system. You know, it fundamentally reshapes the rules of American politics and basically, restores the people as the most important stakeholders in our political system. So the Anti-Corruption Act has three primary goals. One is to stop political bribery. That way special interests can't use job offers and donations to influence politicians. Another is to end secret money, so people know who is actually buying political power. And the third is to fix our broken election, so it's the people, not the political establishment, who are the ones in control.
You know, there's go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. If there's more you need to say, I wanted to really elaborate on the election thing. There's some really surprising statistics about how many electoral districts are actually competitive. Are you familiar with that? 86% of the districts that we're spending all of this money, both sides, to elect a candidate in Congress are not even competitive. They're either gerrymandered or whatever. So are these the kinds of reforms you're talking about in relation to elections?
That's exactly right. And you're spot on. I mean, most of our elections, especially congressional elections, aren't even close. And a big part of that is because of gerrymandering. And last year alone, there were 5 anti-gerrymandering victories, starting with Ohio in May, which passed with over 75% of the vote and had an incredibly strong bipartisan coalition. And apart from Ohio, there were anti-gerrymandering wins in Michigan, in Colorado, in Utah, and Missouri. All of those those last 4 were on the ballot in November. And they won pretty handily, which is really exciting.
Now, most of these anti-gerrymandering pieces, what is put in place to replace the gerrymandered districts?
So, you know, there are different depending on the state, but definitely one of the best models that we've seen, this is what's happening in Michigan is with an independent redistricting commission, basically taking the power of politicians who currently are able to draw their own districts and basically pick their voters, and putting it in the hands of, basically the public, folks who are not politicians, who can actually draw districts where, you know, it's the people who get to pick our politicians, which is exactly how it should be.
It's amazing how things have gotten turned upside down. And of course, you know, it's in any particular election you can point to, well, this party is fixing it or that party. But I'm sure you would generally agree that this is, at least in at least historically, that both parties have engaged in this practice of looking to fix the next election by how they've drawn the districts.
That's right. And we see this across the board, whether it's from when Democrats are in power, then they gerrymander to keep Democrats in power. And when Republicans are in power, they gerrymander to keep Republicans in power. And you know, we know that while the political establishment is you know, trying to make the nation look insurmountably partisan, on the grassroots level, the American people, I mean, we're all on the same page about this issue. Liberals are fed up with the Democratic Party. Conservatives are fed up with the Republican Party. And we're all fed up with this two-party system that is just frankly not working. And so, you know, as the organizing manager, a big bulk of my job is to connect with folks, the grassroots folks who are on the front lines of these movements. And whether I'm talking to chapter leaders who are conservative or our chapter leaders who are more progressive, we're all on the same page on what's broken and the steps that we need to take to fix that.
You know, and of course, the polarization. I love the presentation that Michael Porter and Catherine Gale gave at last year's Unrigged conference about what they called the political industrial complex and how there is an entire entrenched establishment set up and designed to keep the polarity in place. And when the polarity is in place in that system, the people don't really get to be in conversation with one another to talk about and get behind the values that we all share in common. You know, we all want fair elections. We all want, in a certain regard, we want money not to be the prime factor in whether somebody gets elected. And of course, we don't want bribery. We don't want corruption, and so on. But until now, we haven't really been able to get together and find the kinds of venues where people can speak across political lines. So we're going to talk more about the Unrig the System in a bit, but how do you see the Unrig conference and convention as a way to bring people together? And what do you see coming out of people gathering for a weekend in Nashville?
Yeah. So the Unrig Summit, this is basically the premier right-left summit to solve America's political crisis. You know, we're bringing together some of the brightest minds from the right, from the left, from everyone in between, really to get folks to get together and work together to unrig American politics. So the Unrig Summit coming up, this is our second year, and we're headed to Music City, going to be in Nashville from March 29th to the 31st. That's going to be at the Nashville Music City Center, and you can learn more at unrigsummit.com. But what we're doing are bringing together, advvocacy leaders and grassroots activists, celebrities, academics, philanthropists, journalists, to discuss practical solutions that unite America and, basically working to, unrig our broken system. And so we'll have panels and workshops that focus on policy, on campaign strategy, communications, and of course, being in Nashville, there's going to be some pretty quality entertainment, music, comedy. This is something that we're going to be having folks like Zephyr Teachout, who is an anti-corruption champion from the left, and Gary Healy, the former lieutenant governor of Massachusetts, who's an anti-corruption champion from the right, really coming together and working on tangible solutions. Not just boring speeches, no boring speeches. This is going to be focused on trainings, workshops, tools, networking, giving folks what they need to power up and really take the fight to their own local communities.
Yeah, I definitely made some excellent connections there, and I was very, very heartened at the honest conversations and the recognition without creating horrible villains or anything like that the system itself simply keeps perpetuating itself until there's an intervention. And I've always thought that maybe it's like some drunken uncle, like our Uncle Sam has become addicted, and we have to do an intervention because the whole family depends on it, So that's what
sure.
I found. Yeah, so we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the strategies of Represent Us, the particulars of the campaigns. My guest today is James Jamieson. He's with the Represent Us and Unrig the System. Steve Behrman, WikiPoliticky, will be back very soon.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Well, you know, during the commercial break, James, I did the math, and now we're going to have to deal with the aftermath. The math that I did was, what is $14,000 a day for 6 years? And the answer is, it's $30,660,000. So what you're saying is that everyone running for Senate has to somehow raise $30 million, and the meter starts running as soon as one election is over. That's pretty much what you're saying, eh?
That's what I'm saying. And now, of course, that's an average. So some folks have to raise more and others less. But yeah, on average, $30 million for a Senate election, which is frankly pretty gross.
You know, 20 years ago, a friend and associate ran for Congress in Georgia as a Republican. And in order to get his campaign donations from companies like, let's say, AT&T, he actually had to sign a statement. He actually had to sign a statement saying that he would vote a certain way. I mean, I find that hard to believe, but that's how institutionalized that level of bribery is. And I can see why people are outraged by that. And you talked about some of the electoral reform victories that have come about. What about money in elections? How have you done there? And what's been the legislative thrust in that regard?
Yeah, so I mean that's the crux of everything, right? Is money in politics, and there really have been some really incredible strides across the country. One of the big examples that we've seen in 2015 was in the city of Seattle. They passed a vouchers program where basically everyone who lives in the city is given, I believe it's $25 contributions that they're able to give to candidates who are running for election in the city, so long as they commit to running for using kind of public campaign finance systems. And we've seen public campaign finance growing in a number of places. Baltimore just passed public campaign finance in their city this past election. And so, it's definitely one of a number of reforms that is growing and gaining a lot of momentum. Other reforms that are gaining a ton of momentum right now are things like ranked choice voting, which passed in Maine, which for me, I'm particularly excited about. I'm from Maine myself, and so I'm very excited to see that win there. And things even kind of less out there, not really out there, but less on the cusp policy changes like just transparency and ethics and government accountability. These are things that are passing all across the country and have a really huge impact. And of course, anti-gerrymandering efforts that we were talking about before as well.
What was the main legislation? I think many of my listeners probably know what ranked choice voting is, but why don't you explain a little further?
Yeah. So, ranked choice voting. Basically, it gives voters an opportunity to rank their candidates in order of preference instead of just simply choosing one and hoping that you're having to vote for the lesser of two evils. Essentially, in our current system, when you vote, you know, you have to be pretty strategic about who you choose. If there are three candidates running and two of them have very similar views, then there's a really good chance of a spoiler effect. And what ranked choice voting does is gives you the opportunity to rank your candidates, so first choice, second choice, third choice, and just that simple step of being able to actually give yourself more choice, it ensures that whoever wins is elected with a majority support. It gets rid of the spoiler effect. It gets rid of strategic voting and gives the voters more choice, more voice in their elections. And this is something that has been around for a long time across the country or across the world and across the country. Australia has been using ranked choice voting since the early 1900s, and we're just now seeing traction. So Maine actually passed ranked choice voting in 2016. The legislature didn't like it, and they attempted really heavily to alter it, to repeal it, and in fact were successful. They repealed ranked choice voting, and the people of Maine mounted an insurgent campaign last year where they did what's called a people's veto of the repeal of ranked choice voting. In 90 days, they gathered over 90,000 signatures and put ranked choice voting back on the ballot for the June primary. And because they were able to successfully gather the signatures, the repeal was actually stayed. And so in the June primary, folks got to vote on whether or not they wanted ranked choice voting at the same time that they actually did ranked choice voting. And they loved it. It passed with an even greater percentage the second time than it did with the first. And so this last election, we saw ranked choice voting for a number of offices, including the CD2, Congressional District 2 in Northern Maine, where it worked, which was really exciting.
You know, that's really very heartening because, first of all, you gave voters an opportunity to build and show their muscle. You know, so much of what people think about politics has been, we call it the feudal system. This is feudal, that is feudal. And so here's an opportunity where they could actually move the dial. And the value of ranked choice voting, I mean, you know, if, you know, when I was a kid in New York, we actually had four political parties. We had the Democrats and Republicans. We had the liberals and the conservative party. And so you could be what would often happen is that a candidate would be a fusion candidate and have the approval of two of the, you know, the main political party, Democrats, and then the liberal party. Sometimes John Lindsay, who ran for mayor, was actually a fusion candidate, the liberal party and the Republican party. So what this does is it gives people an opportunity, as you said, to not vote against themselves, but really say, well, my first choice is this third party or fourth party candidate, but so my vote counts. I want it to default to this lesser evil candidate. And right now, all we have is lesser evils, and many people recognizing that the lesser evils are both evils and lessers. So
that's right.
This step in the right direction. You know, I think in 2016, the candidate called none of the above would have won in a landslide, or neither.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, and so people were very, very disgusted with the choices, and so that brings us to the question: these things happening at the state level. How can they or will they impact the national conversation, which is where much of the fundamental corruption is entrenched?
Yeah, so history has proved that a state-by-state grassroots strategy works time and time again to win the hearts and minds of people and to bring about, you know, slow but steady reform to the institutions that matter most. This is something that we've seen, you know, with women's suffrage, with interracial marriage. We're currently seeing this with marijuana legalization, that we know that we have to win at the state and local level. And what's nice about that is that there are the people, there are grassroots leaders and organizers and activists who know what matters most in their own backyard. And so the job of Represent Us, and especially my job as the organizing manager, is, you know, we want to amplify the people's solutions to some of the most complex policy issues that they're facing, and work on that together. And so we know that if we continue to get the wins that we're seeing, and right now, I mean, we're seeing more momentum for democracy reform at any time since Watergate, maybe ever, right now. And we've been winning for years, and the wins keep on piling up. We know that we're going to hit critical mass. And so we just have to keep on winning, and we will. And especially with folks on, you know, folks from the left, folks from the right, there's so many talented organizers and activists in this movement right now. It's just a matter of, building leadership, supplying the resources and the tools, direction and advice, but also just trusting that the folks on the ground know how to get wins. Even folks who have never gotten involved in politics before, whether you have a background in, you know, web design, as one of my chapter leaders does, I've got a chapter leader who their day job is as a therapist, and they're leading an incredibly successful grassroots effort right now. And I mean, it's incredible. And this is something that I think makes it so easy for me to get up and go to work every day. Is my job is just watching and helping to build up incredible activists, many of whom have never done anything like this before. And I love that. I absolutely love that part of my job.
You know, it's so heartening, I'm sure it is, to actually see that every victory is really putting a brick in the wall. I looked at the wonderful graphs that you have on the Represent Us website that show that at a certain point, all of these movements that begin as grassroots movements, whether it's women's suffrage, civil rights, marriage equality, on, and now, of course, legalization of certainly medical cannabis, all of these things build momentum until, you know, you've got the early adopters, you've got the first, the first responders, the early adopters, and at some point there's a critical mass, and then all of a sudden this becomes the will of the people and the law of the land. So there are so few campaigns or comprehensive campaigns like you're talking about where people can feel that they're moving toward victory, and so much of what's happening, you know, what's occupying our attention is this pushing against this resistance, and you have these two sides pushing against one another that seems to be energizing, one side energizes the other, and if you're in one political party or the other, right, I get emails from both sides, so they're always asking me for money, and they're asking me for money. For the Democrats, it's ooga booga booga Donald Trump. You know, for the Republicans, ooga booga booga Nancy Pelosi, or Hillary. Right. Still, they're still fixated on Hillary. And what happens is that you're being emotionally manipulated to react against something you've been taught to dislike. And over time, it becomes very disheartening, very disempowering. People lose heart. So tell me about the people who have who join the Represent Us movement. I mean, you know, it sounds like these are new people. Where are some of them from? Are they from other reform projects? And this seems to be the most impactful way they can act?
So folks discover Represent Us from a variety of different sources and get involved from an incredibly varied set of backgrounds. We've done a really great job of, especially our digital team is fantastic. A lot of our folks find out about Represent Us because of our problem and solution videos. We know studies have shown that if 3.5% of a population get meaningful engaged on an issue, then that's when you hit, as you said, critical mass. Now, of course, with American population of 240 million people, that means we have to get 11 million people meaningfully engaged to get critical mass all across the country. We're working on it. We're getting there. But I have chapter leaders across the country who, I've got one in Texas who is an engineer and is conservative and has never really gotten involved in politics before, maybe done a couple of phone banks, but really is just sick of the dysfunction in local government, and so is starting to build up a new chapter in Texas. And I also have some folks who in New Jersey who have been working on this for a long, long time, who have been with REPA since the very beginning when it was seven staffers who were just trying to test things out to see what would work. They've been fighting against gerrymandering and against dark money in their state, and they actually defeated a effort by Democrats in power to put partisan gerrymandering into their state's constitution, and they were part of a big coalition effort to defeat that amendment, which is incredible. And now they're working on essentially transparency for independent expenditures in New Jersey, and they're gaining a lot of traction. And so a lot of folks who have gotten involved. I get a lot of folks who have been who had volunteered on previous campaigns, but it's incredible to see the different backgrounds. And in fact, you can meet them yourself. We have a national tool, essentially a organizing tool that we use called Discord. I'll be honest, it's actually a primarily used for a gaming as a communication tool, but we have started using it, and we're actually using it to build an online anti-corruption organizing community. And you can go and check it out if you go to represent.us/chat, that's C-H-A-T. You can make an account on Discord and jump on and actually meet all the people who are on the front lines and doing this work. And you can join yourself, join these front lines. And we've got a lot of folks who are kind of the community leaders and community activists who are working on in their own backyards to pass reforms. And we also have folks who are more movement leaders and movement activists who are on in the fight on more of a national level, supporting the fights that are happening on the state and local level. And that's kind of a lot of the job that my very small organizing team does. We do a lot of support of helping to train people on our tools. We run phone banks every Thursday where we're calling into all of the different fights that are happening around the country and providing as much support as we can. And so, there's a number of ways that folks can get involved. And, you can actually meet these activists yourself by joining our official Discord server.
Good. Well, we're going to talk more about Discord and Datcord when we get back from this little break. We're talking with James Jamieson, Represent Us, Unrig the System. Steve Behrman will be back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you waken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, hi, Steve Behrman. I'm back with our guest, James Jamison. He's talking about the Represent Us organization, Unrig the System. And I have to say I'm posting a link to the general Represent Us site and the Unrig the System convention that's happening in March. You mentioned earlier, James, the explainer videos on the solution and the problem. And I think that this first came on my radar several years ago when I saw an excellent video by Lawrence Lessig, a Harvard law professor. I imagine that he has had something to do with Represent Us. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he was one of the primary authors of the American Anti-Corruption Act. He was there for our the UNRIG Summit in New Orleans last year. Of course, he'll be back for the UNRIG Summit happening in Nashville as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I highly recommend that people take a look at that because if, you know, people find that it's very easy to complain about politics, it's very easy to find villains. They're everywhere, apparently. But what's really heartening, and I could tell it in your voice as you're recounting how encouraging it is to see that you're making progress and you can see where you are on the curve, and there's an inevitability about that curve, an inevitability about getting a critical mass of the otherwise uncritical masses on board, 11 million out of 230 million. And, you know, that's a very doable. In reference to the UNRIG, I felt that there was such an opportunity for connection and collaboration with other people working on different aspects of the, one might call it transpartisan political movement. What were some of the, you know, what in your mind and heart came out of the first UNRIG conference last year. Were there any interesting collaborations or connections that got made, and things that got sparked?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, I was involved with a session at UNRIG. It was called the Democracy Science Fair, where we had campaigns across the entire country, a lot of campaigns who are just starting to get up and off the ground, actually be in a single room together, where folks like Katie Fahey in Michigan, who was incredible leader and activist. Her group, Voters Not Politicians, they were able to gather close to 500,000 signatures, 425,000 signatures across the state in Michigan to end gerrymandering, and all volunteer signatures, which, as someone with a background of signature collection and paid canvassing, was outstanding to me. But to have her in the same room as the self-described badass grandmas from North Dakota, Ellen and Dina, who were grassroots champions and ended up winning a statewide anti-corruption ballot measure in North Dakota, to have groups from Pennsylvania like March on Harrisburg and Fair Districts Pennsylvania in the same room to be able to begin to collaborate, that was one of the things that I loved coming out of UNRIG, was to have these folks who often feel like you're doing work in a vacuum, to be able to make connections, share resources, and make it so, you don't have to reinvent the wheel when you want to fight these battles. And that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to for UNRIG in Nashville, is there's going to be some, a little bit of what we are doing is celebrating the incredible wins that we got this last year. And there are a number to celebrate. But to then say, okay, where do we go from here, and who can help me do it? To be able to have so many talented people in one space, to be able to make those connections and point people and say, hey, you need help putting together a campaign finance reform? Well, take a look at this person and what they did last year. Or you need help with ranked choice voting? Take a look at these folks from Maine who were on the forefront of it. Pick their brains, steal their materials that they used, and let's make it happen, which I'm really excited about.
My radio show is called Wiki Politicky, and what you have there really is a Wiki Politicky. You really have a chance for open source collaboration, people working in different areas and experimenting and trying this. And, it's the most heartening thing I've seen. I'm currently working on a campaign with Richard Lang, who wrote a book called Virtual Country. We were there last year at UNRIG, and his campaign is for National Town Square. And this would be an independent, non-governmental, non-corporate, totally transparent new institution in society where every citizen, if they set up an account, would have a verifiable, countable advisory vote on any issue that comes up. And so this would be an opportunity for our legislators to see, way better than a petition site, where where American voters are coherent and begin to see the writing on the wall and so on. And so we found some very valuable allies last year. Was there anything else from last year's conference that jumped out at you as like that talk was particularly inspiring, or finding out about that project? Was there something that jumps out at you?
Absolutely. And if you go to the UNRIG website, if you go to unrigsummit.com, there's actually the first video that you see is sort of a highlights reel from the New Orleans. And it's so tough to pick one that stands out. But if I have to, definitely probably one of the most impactful speeches that I've heard ever was from Desmond Meade, who was running the Second Chances Florida campaign, basically to reinstitute voting rights for felons in Florida who did their time and who up until November of last year had no way to be reenfranchised. And that campaign, a statewide campaign similar to Michigan, collected signatures, all volunteers, about 500,000, or actually I think close to a million, and they won. They were successful, and I just watched a video of Desmond himself, I think just last week, of him getting the right to vote again, which was just so emotional to me. And definitely go to unrigsummit.com, check out the highlight reel from last year in New Orleans. It's a great way to get excited and about what's to come in Nashville in March.
That was moving for me too. Wasn't he one of the people who got an award? Wasn't he one of the people who was given an award for that activity? I seem to
yes,
remember.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and you know, he's a really powerful. You know, his story is incredibly powerful and emotional, and the fact that he was able to you know be so successful. I mean, we all knew that he was going to be successful. I mean, that campaign it had so much heart behind it that it had to win, and then it did. You know. So many folks, you know, everyone who attends is, we all have these stories and we all, you know, everyone has a way in which corruption affects you. And so to be able to get everyone together for UNRIG, this time in Nashville is really important. But, what I'm also excited about is the work that we're going to do afterwards. And so I want to put another plug. If anyone is interested in joining this movement at the local level, at the national level, you can jump on to our Discord channel by going to represent.us/chat and connect with other leaders, connect with myself. I'm on there all the time. I love talking to folks all the time. So come on and come talk to me.
You know, I felt very heartened by this conference. I wish I could be there this year by location. Not even the Swami can master that. That's the weekend I'm doing a couple of comedy gigs with Will Durst, the political comedian right here in the Bay Area. Can't bilocate, but I have to say that that weekend was one of the most encouraging weekends around kindred spirits, probably ages 16 to 86 is what my guess is. There was a huge span of ages and political viewpoints, and people just single-mindedly about one thing, and that is to restore the power of we the people. The missing element in government of the people has been the people. So people are getting active, and the fact that you talked about the overturn, the people's veto overturning.
Yeah.
My wife is from Michigan. I have a lot of connections in Michigan, so I was very, very happy to see that campaign be successful. In the few minutes we have left, James, is there any campaigns on the horizon for this year or next that you feel particularly encouraged about?
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of things that are in the works. You know, we're still, the point in time where a lot of a lot of campaigns are still starting to formulate. I think in terms of reforms being at that sort of intersection of impact and viability. There's a big spotlight on ranked choice voting, and there's a lot of momentum that are going into that. I know there's a number of our chapters across the country and a number of efforts that are moving towards ranked choice voting that I'm excited about. A lot of what we're focusing on and a lot of what our chapters and grassroots across the country are focusing on are really, taking the next year to really focus on education, building capacity, growing the movement itself so that we can be prepared to be as successful as we can as campaigns start to take shape across the country. I don't think that there's any one that I'm particularly interested in. For me, I'm really interested in seeing, the power of grassroots, the fact that people are coming together, putting country over party to fight corruption nationwide. I think it's that national campaign that has me especially interested and excited.
Think national. Nationally, act locally, I guess, and that's really how this is working, that these campaigns, success after success that add up. It's been such a pleasure talking with you, James Jamieson, and helping to spread the word about represent.us and also about the Unrig the System event happening in Nashville, March 29th to 31st this year. If there's any way, if you're feeling that you want to be reheartened in your political work, please come to that event, and also you can find the links to Represent Us and Unrig on the WikiPolitiki website. Thank you so much, James, for joining us. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki, and we will be with you next week.